broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, it is a beautiful day for a round of golf today. It's going to be sunny, high near 82, east-northeasterlies, 5 to 8 miles per hour, so you won't be fighting the wind. Tonight, isolated showers before midnight, partly cloudy with low around 73. Isn't that marvelous? And the winds will be northeasterly, 6 to 8 miles per hour. I prefer putting on a sweater than sweating in the heat. A chance of precipitation, make that 20%. 20%. Sunday, mostly sunny again, high near 82. Northeasterlies, 8 to 13 miles per hour. All right. We've got some tee times for you because I know you want to go out and play a round of golf. At Volcano, it's 57 degrees. Yes, you'll want to bring a jacket. There's an 850, a 924, and a 1048. And the Lost Boys are going out. They're still lost. And may you hit the sweet spot every time and find your ball easily. Macaulay, there's an 852 and a 916 and a 1020. Skirts at Play. They're out on the golf course today. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Poipu, hey, there's a 930, an 1120, and a 1 p.m. And the Southside Men's Club, they're going out. And guess who's going to be on the show today? Chad Dusenberry, director of golf at Poipu Golf Course, Poipu Kauai. He's going to join us. He's first up. And Kauai Lagoons has a 1030 and an 1108. And the day traders are heading out there. They should get together with the accountants. And the accountants are playing at Turtle Bay. There's an 840 and a 910 and an 11 o'clock if you'd like to play at Turtle Bay. Hawaii Kai has a 910 and a 1236. Let's see, Royal Hawaiian Country Club. You got an 830, a 930, and a 1030 you can choose from. Eva Beach Golf Course has an 856, a 908, an 1118. At Wailea on Maui on the Gold Course, you can play an 11 o'clock time, tee time, 11:50 or 12:40. On the Emerald Course, HSJGA, they're out on the course all day today. And on the Blue Course, we've got a 10:50, an 11:10, an 11:40. Maui Nui, there's a 9:44, a 10:16, and a 9:52. Okay, 9:44, 10:52, 10:16. Does that work better? Jack Miller Group's out. Brad Curtis's group is out. Jay Suda's group is out. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. I sure want to, and I rarely do. But I still have fun on the golf course, and that's what you got to make sure you do. Okay, so John Peter Hagen's joining us, author. Anthony Pioppi is joining us, golf author, writer, historian, president of the Seth Rainer Society. Diana DeLucia, founder Golf Kitchen, is with us. Ron Syrak, award-winning writer and author of the Vision 54 trilogy. And Chad Dusenberry, he's going to join us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions just like the pros. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. The gift that lasts forever. And the Sentry starts off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua, January 2nd through the 5th.
Yeehaw! The Sentry. All right, let's go to Kauai. Chad Dusenberry, head golf professional, Poipu Bay Golf Course. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm good.
It's
just a little winded. Just got done working out and I'm ready to go.
Are you having a fabulous sunrise? We're having a fabulous sunrise.
Every day is a fabulous day out here.
Oh, it's just amazing the colors that we're getting. All right, so let's go backwards just a little bit, because what I'd like to talk to you about, first off, congratulations, Poipu Bay's golf course, the head professional, Chad Dusenberry, with us right now, and Nick, I'm worried about this, Bahuth, is that how he pronounces his last name? Chad?
I'm not sure. Which person are you talking about?
I'm talking about the guy that you fired a final round 66 on Sunday to win the 2024 Pro
in the Pro Pro event. Jason Bayhuth.
Oh, Jason Bayhuth. Okay, yes, I've got the name wrong there. Okay, Jason, one stroke. You won by a stroke at the Ocean Course at Hokuala. Championship was presented by Golf Concepts. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've been a good partner. It definitely helps.
Now, see, you were quoted in a news release. I've been searching a long time for the right partner. I'm relieved to have finally found him. So I'm wondering, what's the right partner?
I think that's somebody that makes you feel comfortable and confident out there, where if you make a mistake, they've got your back. So we ham and egged it really well. If one of us actually was out or in trouble in one hole, the other person kind of recovered and carried us for that hole.
Wow, that's cool. It's team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Team back, you know, two-man best ball. So, yeah, we coming down the home stretch, I think, you know, Jason actually got hot towards the end and birdied four in a row.
Whoa.
And I made a couple of clutch pars to keep us in there.
That's awesome. That must be so rewarding, you know, just to come off the course and know that you've got it.
Yeah, you know, you always walk off feeling like you left a few strokes out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, don't, you know, it's good to know that the head professional at Poipu Bay Golf Course has that same feeling that so many of us have kind of on a regular basis. Chad, you also have been in the newspaper or an article, and I had to ask you about the most important teaching tip. Can you remember what your most important teaching tip was?
That might have been a lot. I would say for me, it's probably just being relaxed, trying to get some of the tension out.
And what's the best way to relax? Have a drink?
I think breathing. I think a lot of people have trouble where, you know, when you get nervous, anxious, you start holding your breath, and that creates tension in your body.
Oh, that's awesome. It is so true. It is so true in any situation, whether you're at work, at play, on the golf course. I suppose that's a little bit of both. You know, you forget to breathe and take
right.
it deep down into your lower abdomen where it, you know, really counts. Your shallow breathing and it, you know, your brain is like, hey, I'm dying over here. Could you give me some more
oxygen?
Yes, exactly. Now, I've been talking about Poipu Bay Golf Course. All 18 holes are open, but you did this fantastic redoing of the bunkers. Tell us what you did.
Yeah, so we did a total restoration of our greenside bunkers. So 48 of our greenside bunkers. What we did is we brought them back to the original sizing, redid the drainage, and installed this new CapCon liner. This is something pretty new, I think, within the industry within the last few years. So it's capillary concrete mixed in with secret resin that they can't tell you. And it's supposed to be a liner that will last at least up to 15 years.
Wow.
And it's really porous. You know, it's pretty amazing when you see the whole process, that once it's cured, you can actually take a water hose at full pressure, and it'll go right through the concrete.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, the concrete holds everything in place, but you still want to have great drainage. And that's why this is so perfect. Is that it?
Correct. Because if you replace the sand without doing the drainage, you know, one of the biggest problems we've had, we've been open since 1991. And this is the first real restoration of the bunkers we've done. So every time we get a little bit of rain, pretty much every bunker on the golf course would retain water.
Oh.
So the nanny geese were happy, but the golfers weren't.
Do you have a lot of geese on the course?
Yeah, we're also a sanctuary out there, so we have a lot of nene out there.
Oh, that's wonderful. One of the many reasons I love golf courses is because not only do they attract wildlife on the course, but you guys take care of it. You know, you know how to keep the golf course in really good shape while giving them a place to be comfortable and safe and not worry about being chased around. That's terrific. Except for those white things that come flying in the air, right?
I know. Some hazards come with it, I guess.
Well, that is great. 48 greenside bunkers. How long did this take? It seemed like it was 6 months or more.
You know, we're pretty fortunate. We had a pretty good team. A lot of coordination. Our project managers, Trey Smith, Michelle Tavares, our superintendent, Jesse Felipe, and our assistant superintendent, Skip Santos. They all did a really good job working with Heritage Links to coordinate everything, making sure everything was delivered on time, getting the materials. The other thing that we lucked out on is the weather. You know, you can never take into account how the weather is going to affect the project. So they ended up finishing actually a month ahead of schedule.
Wow. That is, I had to always say, you can play both, you know, and the nines that, the one that was open twice.
Right.
Now you can play all 18 at Poipu Bay open. And this is absolutely wonderful. I also like this from another article. Poipu Bay utilized quality materials from local vendors and techniques that align with sustainable practices. Certifying the greenside bunkers contribute to the overall environmental stewardship of the property. That is absolutely another part of why golf courses are wonderful, because you do take care of the land and it shows. Really appreciate you.
Correct. No, that's what Poipu Bay is about, and trying to sustain, right?
Yeah, trying to take care of everything. So do you have any big events coming up there that we should know about?
Actually, no, not right now. We're just happy to be open, obviously, for, 18 holes. Moving into the next year, with 18 holes available, hopefully we're going to start picking up. I know we've got a lot of group activity coming in from the Hyatt. And, we're looking forward to a great 2025.
Yeah, and it's great to see the Southside Men's Club back on the golf course. And I love that. The Southside Men's Club. There's the 9:30 and 11:20 and 1 p.m. at least, 30 minutes ago, they were still open. So give them a call if you'd like to go out and play Poipu Bay. Chad, I'd love to have you back on the show to talk about some more teaching tips and giving us a lesson on the air. I know it's not easy, but I think you can do it. I think you can do it. How long have you been playing golf?
I think it's going on 30 years. I've been at Poipu now. I just made 22 years.
Wow. So you were there for all of the big tournaments that happened back.
I'd say probably half of it. Half of it I was there for, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What was the name of that
Tiger
again?
Tiger's Heyday.
Beg your pardon?
The Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam of golf. How could I possibly forget that? That was... That was fantastic. A really beautiful spot for them to stop. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with me this morning, Chad.
Hey, my pleasure, Daniel. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays indeed. Aloha, Chad Dusenberry, head golf professional, Poipu Bay Golf Course.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
It's Aloha Power Equipment's year-end clearance sale. From homeowner to supersized landscaper, we've got riding mowers, chainsaws, blowers, generators on sale waiting here for you. And don't forget the accessories. We make yard work easy. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done. Protect your property with the best tools around. Live on a neighbor island? No worries. We ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Tell them Danielle sent ya.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
It is Aloha Power Equipment's year-end clearance sale. From homeowner to supersized landscaper, we've got riding mowers, we've got chainsaws, blowers, and generators on sale waiting here for you. And don't forget the accessories. We make yard work easy. You mow it, you blow it, you bag it, you're done. And you can use the equipment and not your back to protect your property with the best tools around. If you live on the neighbor islands, no worry. You know, we ship right off island. Aloha Power Equipment. Tell them Danielle sent you.
Where the best start their year. The Century is back on Maui. The PGA Tour's opening drive kicks off the year at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Come watch the 2024 FedEx Cup champion Scottie Scheffler compete alongside the PGA Tour's top players like Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa. Keiki are admitted free and Hawaii residents have access to the discounted Kama'aina ticket presented by Mauna Loa. Witness the action at the Century January 2nd through 5th. Tickets available at thecentury.com.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And in the clubhouse with us now, Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award recipient, and author, I call it the Vision 54 Trilogy, with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's fabulous talking with you. And as the LPGA wrapped up their season, I was surprised. World number one Nelly Korda was crowned the 2024 Player of the Year. That didn't surprise me. What surprised me is that it's the first time in her career.
Yeah, you know, that sort of surprised me, too. You know, I kept thinking, well, she had to have done it. I mean, the year 2021, Jin Young Ko won it on the points, on the strict point system. But the Golf Writers Awards, it's a voting system. And I voted for Nelly as Player of the Year that year. And she won the GWAA Award because she had won Olympic gold medal that year.
Yeah.
But so that was the year when everybody sort of thought that she probably had won Player of the Year, but she didn't. So this was her first time getting it, and it gets her another Hall of Fame point for her, too, towards the 27 she needs to qualify.
That's awesome. She's amazing. She is really amazing, and she keeps herself together. I know sometimes she says she isn't, but what a young woman she is, you know, to handle the travel, the pressure, the expectations, all the things that come with being an excellent golfer. And we always think that, oh, she'll do it again, you know, but you're just saying it's different. And if you could just briefly tell us about what's the difference between the way the PGA Tour finds their Player of the Year and the LPGA?
Well, the PGA Tour's Player of the Year is a player vote. The players vote on who the Player of the Year is. The PGA of America picks a PGA Tour player based on a point system. That's what the LPGA uses. The LPGA has a point system. Anytime you finish in the top 10, you accumulate points towards being a Player of the Year. It's like 30 for first place, 18 for second on down. So it's a strict point system. And as I said, the Golf Writers Association system is a voting system. There are good arguments in favor of both kinds of systems, you know. A point system takes emotion out of it, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't like a player, you know, that doesn't factor in. But what the point system doesn't factor in is some of the intangibles. And it's like I said, the year that Nelly won four times on the LPGA and an Olympic gold medal, to me, that was a deal breaker for her then. But I believe that the LPGA now is going to start counting. I know that they give you Hall of Fame points now for an Olympic gold medal. They'll probably start counting it towards Player of the Year points, although that's a difficult thing to do because not all LPGA players get a shot at Olympic medals.
Exactly, and it's not every year. You know, it's not.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, also, LPGA news is Molly Marcoux-Simon resigning her commissioner position.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing rumblings for quite a few months that there was some dissatisfaction within corporate tour headquarters. And look, let's face it. Molly, Mike Wann is a tough act to follow.
Yep.
I think it's as simple as that. You know, they always say about, I'm old enough to remember when John Wooden retired as the UCLA men's basketball coach. I'm old enough to remember when Bear Bryant retired as the Alabama football coach. And the guys who replaced them as coaches struggled. And what I learned from that is, you don't want to replace a legend. You want to be the person who replaces the person who replaced the legend. you want to be second or third on that train, not the lead car in there. It's hard. And Mike Wann not only did a remarkable job bringing the LPGA back from the Great Recession, but he was an incredible communicator. He communicated to sponsors and he communicated to the players his vision really well. And sort of the rumblings that I was hearing out of LPGA headquarters is that Molly didn't communicate her vision well enough, strongly enough to the players. They didn't exactly know what was going on. And look, I mean, they had a very successful year this year. 34 players won over $1 million. You know, that's remarkable. Gino Didicul led the money list with $6.1 million in earnings this year. You know, that's pretty impressive. Still, at the same time, the challenge for the next commissioner is women's sports is on a front burner now. Call it the Caitlin Clark effect, whatever. And the fire is hot. It's time to strike right now. It's time to negotiate deals with real blue chip corporations. It's time to look at to take another hard look at TV deals and the money you can get from rights fees there. So whoever replaces Molly is going to have to jump in, knowing that their task is the opportunity is there right now. People are paying attention to women's sports. How can we cash in on it?
Yeah, one person wrote that. You know, she's been under the hot lights of criticism. We knew that. But she did grow the purses, as you just...
Enormously.
Enormously.
Almost 100%.
Yeah. So, but she didn't... Apparently, that didn't get enough credit because she still wasn't communicating with her members, the people who really count. And then again, she's also been called out for not being one of the... one of the women's sports that's not gaining popularity, as it were, is golf. And that's kind of weird.
You know, I had at the U.S. Women's Open this year in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I was standing in the media room one day. I think it was the day that Lexi Thompson was announcing her retirement. So I'm in the back of the media room. I always like sort of lurk in the back so I can get out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly comes up to me. And she starts a conversation with me, and we talked for about a half an hour. It was a fascinating conversation in which I don't think the word golf ever came up.
Hmm.
We talked about college sports. We talked about how that's changing with name, image, and licensing money, and and transfer portals and all the impact of how college sports is in sort of a dangerous territory right now because it's chasing the money. Mm-hmm. I had a fascinating conversation with her. I mean, she's knowledgeable. She's extremely intelligent. I think as 15 years as an athletic director at Princeton, though, she didn't really have to be a salesperson.
Yeah, okay.
And that's job one of being the LPGA commissioner. You got it. Your main constituency, it's not the fans. It's not even the players. It's the check signers. How do you make the sponsors happy? You know, and you got to be able – and Mike Wan was brilliant at that. Ty Botaugh was brilliant at that. Charlie Beecham were really – they really knew how to make the check signers feel loved.
Yeah.
And I think Molly's shortcoming was two things. One, not being able to do that. And two, not being an effective communicator to the players about what her vision for the future is.
Yeah, and you know, but women are always at a disadvantage. Men don't want a woman in the boardroom. And it's, you know, you got guys going to sell guys. Most of them are guys, I think, on the other side right. of the table. So, you know, you're kind of like in there and they're skeptical about you to begin with. And who are you? And I don't know. Do I trust you? Blah, blah, blah. Who do you think is going to come up next? Who's going to be the commissioner?
It's going to be interesting. Liz Moore, who's their chief legal officer, is going to be the interim commissioner.
Okay.
Molly officially steps aside January 9th. Liz Moore will be the interim commissioner while they start search committee to look for somebody else. And you know, I know what they're going to do. They're going to go out and they're going to find a headhunting firm and they're going to track it, try to track somebody down that way. You know, I'd like to see them get a little outside of the box. Maybe get somebody like a Ty Votaw or a Charlie Meacham to be on the search committee, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody who's done the job before. They've actually done it. I don't think you could ask Mike Wan to be on it because he's still got a job, you know? He's running the USGA. But both Charlie Meacham and Ty Votaw are retired. They have a ton of experience as not only being commissioners, but being extremely successful commissioners. And they need to, you know, I would like to see them get involved with doing that search.
That's a great idea. I think, you know, let's put that forward. Send that message to them, okay? There's another really big issue that's come to fore, and it's in women's sports across the board, not just
yep.
LPGA. The no biological men will be playing on the LPGA. No person born as a male can play against females, however they have transitioned. And I think,
as long as they haven't, I think that the way that they're doing it is if you have sexual reassignment surgery, it's got to be done before you enter puberty, you know, so that you have not had the beneficial effects of the male hormones kicking in. And then you transition to being a woman. Now, essentially, that's going to remove everybody because how many people make that decision at 10, 11, 12 years
Thank
old?
You. You know, yes.
probably not too many. But, you know, I mean, for the LPGA, it's been, you know, it's an issue, 20 years ago, I think. Niana Bagger had sexual reassignment surgery. She was a Danish guy, became a woman. Joined the Ladies European Tour and tried to make it on the LPGA and wasn't good enough, you know. So I mean, so it's never really been an impactful issue, but now that has also become a front burner issue in sports. And I think that you know, it's not just the LPGA, but the USGA established the same policy.
Yeah,
and I think that's under pressure to be clear. And, you know, there's a lot of really prominent female athletes, Martina Navratilova, very outspoken about it, who think that the only people who should be able to play women's sports are people born female.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you let's see now. Skeletal muscle constitutes 42% of a man's body mass, only 36% of a woman's body mass. I mean, there's so many different reasons why guys are just stronger biologically than women. And yeah, we can go in the and work out and do all that stuff, but it doesn't compare to the biology that a man's been born with. And it,
we are stronger and stupider. You know, it's always been in 37 years of covering women's sports. The conclusion that I come to is women mature earlier than men, and they never catch up.
Yes, you know? This is. Yeah, that's why we're in charge. No, behind the scenes when nobody in a very quiet boardroom, one-on-one. Oh, by the way, when you talk about, I was just reading about Alison Corpuz. She, $4 million 1 year, $2 million of that is for sponsorship deals with Adidas or Adidas and Vans. So are a lot of our LPGA players picking up that kind of money, even though their prize money may not be as high as the PGA Tour?
More of them are now. And you know, and again, I think this is part of the Caitlin Clark effect. If you watch TV at all now, you see more female athletes appearing in commercials. You know, Nelly Korda, I think, is making $10 million off the golf course this year in endorsement deals. And corporations are finding out several things about female athletes. One, you can sign a female athlete for probably a quarter or a third of what you're going to pay for a male athlete out there. Two, they're a whole lot easier to deal with because there's just not the same sense of entitlement that a lot of the superstar male athletes have. And three, it expands your marketing audience enormously. I mean, you know, it's more than half the world are female, you know. All of a sudden, you're bringing them into the marketing mix. It's like, for years, I kept thinking, how could a corporation not look at Julie Inkster and say, wow, I want her to represent my brand?
Yeah.
Because she's smart and funny and articulate and an accomplished athlete. She checks all the boxes. Meg Mallon in 2004, Meg Mallon, who's a World Golf Hall of Fame member, 2004, she won the U.S. Women's Open at the Orchards in South Hadley, Massachusetts, wearing a hat she bought in the pro shop because she didn't have an endorsement deal. I mean, that's outrageous, you know. But all of a sudden, companies are realizing now that women are efficient, smart marketers who are extremely cost efficient and will expand their markets.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't help but think when you said, you know, women are less expensive than men. You know, we still have the income problem. You know, it's not equal.
Well, you know, as much money as you know. No, I mean, Gino Titticul makes $6 million in the LPGA this year. 34 LPGA players made over $1 million. But still, women golfers, LPGA players lost ground to men because of the impact of the LIV Golf money and what LIV Golf forced the PGA Tour to do. Scottie Scheffler made well over $20 million this year, you know, so the gap, even though the women made big strides relative to where they were, they still fell farther behind what the male golfers are making.
Yeah. Okay. You brought up Scottie Scheffler. I'm going to ask you, and it's the hero world right now, and you know, Tiger Woods can't play, but let me ask you something. Scottie Scheffler is an incredible player. Tiger Woods or Scottie Scheffler, who's the best of the best?
Tiger Woods is a generational player. I mean, you know, it happens, you know, in my mind, on men's golf, it went from Harry Vardon to Bobby Jones to Ben Hogan to Jack Nicklaus to Tiger Woods.
Uh-huh.
Those were the generational golfers.
Gotcha.
You know, Scottie may have a chance to be the generational golfer of this generation.
Okay.
What he's got to do is do what he's doing right now for another 5-6 years. I mean, Tiger Woods from 1997 to 2008 when he had the knee surgery, and then the scandal happened in 2009. But for that 10-year period in there, 12-year period in there, he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And part of what defines a generational player is you got to do it for a generation. It's sustainability. You can't just have one or two or three good years. You need to string them together. The three greatest winners I've had the privilege to cover are Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Annika Sörenstam. And the thing that they had in common is they never got tired of winning. They won a tournament. They went out the next week, and they teed it up as if they'd never won a tournament before in their life and played with just ferocious intensity. And that's just something that's I don't think you learn that. I don't think you can be taught that. It's just the way they were wired. And we'll see if Scotty's got that in him. It seems like right now he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like he has that fire and that he's not going to take his foot off the gas, but only time will tell.
Yeah. And Tiger was also a showman. You know, when he played and he expressed himself, there was that flair, that excellence all combined into one player. And I don't think we saw that before because everybody was a little bit more controlled. And we see Scotty kind of like the more controlled person inside, you know, instead of letting it all out. And Tiger just
That's a huge factor in there. You know, I mean, I think I was asked that on another interview about why do you think Scotty's not getting as much attention as Tiger did. And I said, well, the main thing is it's a personality thing. You know, he's just except for the fact that he gets up on his toes when he hits his tee ball, and the fact that he got arrested at the PGA Championship. Yeah. You know, there's nothing that stands out about Scotty. He just bores you to death with excessively great golf. Tiger Woods. Tiger. Even his name, make up a name. Tiger Woods, hey, that's a marketing person's dream right there. Right?
Yes.
Everything about Tiger. He was multiracial.
Yep.
He was the first real athlete to come along in men's golf. Just everything about Tiger Woods stood out. And Scotty doesn't have any of that going for him. You know, even John Rahm and Rory McIlroy are more compelling personalities than Scotty Scheffler.
Yes, but he's so efficient. He's so dependable, and that's beautiful. So, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Scotty, nor is Ron. It's just looking at the two different personalities and how they come across. It's really something else. I could talk with you for hours. Ron Syrak, award-winning writer. Are you writing? Have you decided to pick up the pen? I know it's exhausting.
this year I did. I covered a couple tournaments for the USGA, and I still post stuff occasionally on my website at ronsyrak.com. In fact, I'm working on a piece now about next year is the 75th anniversary of the LPGA.
Wow!
And so I'm sort of going to work on a historical piece about that and about how, look, this is. LPGA is a remarkable, remarkable tour that for 75 years has been overcoming naysayers. You know, everybody just kept putting them down. 75 years later, they're still there. And as I said, they're still there with an opportunity to make this next few years the most important growth period ever.
Awesome. Ron Syrak, thank you so much for being in the clubhouse with me, and I hope we talk soon. It is winter. Oh. You won't be playing golf every weekend.
The feels like temperature here today was 17 degrees.
Oh, so,
which means my low right to left draw is going to get some good run on the
road. Aloha, Ron.
Aloha.
We'll be back. Diana DeLucia in the clubhouse, founder, CEO, editor, writer, amazing photographer, Golf Kitchen magazine and books after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Get Sony Open tickets now to support Island Keiki, Kupuna, and families. Link arms with Friends of Hawaii Charities and Hawaii Community Foundation to give Hawaii's ohana a big lift. Your Sony Open in Hawaii ticket purchase creates a wave of aloha throughout the islands. Tickets available at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. That's SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Join all the fun while creating the Sony Open wave of aloha now.
Ah, you've heard of Stretch Lab. We talk about Stretch Lab on the show. We've been talking about how stretching, you know, talk about going to play golf, stretching fundamental to prepare or recover from golf. You want to have your muscles all ready to work. Introducing Stretch Lab Hawaii with studios now at Kahala Mall, Kailua by Foodland. The new studio, it's in the Kolua building, 1000 Awahi Street, a big, beautiful white building at Ward Center, and also coming soon to Kapolei. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions. It helps improve your swing and your flexibility. So important for afterwards, so your body didn't suffer. You'll move better, you'll feel better, and you'll play better. Tell them the golf club sent you. Stretch and mobility are yours at Stretch Lab Hawaii.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, founder, CEO, editor, writer, photographer, amazing photographer, Golf Kitchen magazine and books. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Good afternoon, Danielle. How are you?
Oh, good. It's a beautiful day. Is it cold where you are?
You know, I was just going to tell you how jealous I am of you in Hawaii.
Well, Ron just said it's 17, or feels like 17 degrees. What does it feel like where you are in Connecticut?
If you go outside, it's probably, I don't know, I haven't even been outside or looked, but it's wicked cold. We've had it so good because it's literally been golf weather right up until, like, maybe last week.
Yeah. Ron was playing last week, I think, or the week before. Yeah, so I love how you said wicked cold, you know. That sort of sums it up very nicely. I absolutely love your golf kitchen. Is this the seventh year?
Yeah, going into the eighth year in 2025.
Wow. I mean, time flies when you're working hard, but this is beautiful. And folks, you really, how do we get your magazine?
You can subscribe at golfkitchen.com.
It's easy.
There's,
Golf
there's
Kitchen.
A button, you just click on it.
Yeah.
Four times a year now. We survived the pandemic. Those years are behind us, and the brand's growing recognition internationally, as you can see. And we've got a lot of things on the table in 2025.
Oh, that's so good. All right, the Golf Kitchen, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right. Is it Santa Lucia Preserve?
Yeah, that's right, in California.
Yeah, that's featured in this edition. A look inside Hanatoru with Kevin Bozada. and the Ferguson Whiskey and Spirited Journey. And this is the Wagyu of Duck. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did.
Oh, wow. The Club Wine Review, Clubhouse Cocktails, and Teeing Up Culinary Careers. All of this inside this edition of Golf Kitchen. What is the Wagyu of Duck?
That would be the original Pekin duck breed from China, which is been bred in China for over 1,000 years, and wow, it's what they make the Pekin duck recipes out of. And it's the story of the Jurgelwitz, I'm probably saying that wrong, duck farm. And the owner of that farm is actually a veterinarian, so the ducks are very well bred, and they've kept the same feed, the same way of raising the ducks since they were in Long Island many, many years ago.
Wow.
And they actually supply all the famous restaurants like Daniel Ballou's. They're in many, many golf clubs, and duck is having a big resurgence. Oh. And if you see this story, we actually traveled to Marion Golf Club, and we worked with Jonathan Cishon, the executive chef there, and Stephen Yen from Liberty National.
Yes.
And we had them both interview Joey Jurgelwitz.
Wow. And that.
And then they created some recipes.
Wow. And all of that is in Golf Kitchen.
Yeah, that's just one story.
Yes, I know, but the recipes.
Yeah, they're really nice recipes. We kind of did, Stephen did some, casual golf fare, lunchtime food, and then Jonathan did some fine dining.
Wow.
To show the range of the product.
Wow. And Stephen's been on the show. I really enjoy talking with him. You have some really terrific friends. Now, I wasn't able to read the entire article because Diana DeLucia, when she puts together something, it is so well done. You just really need to check out golfkitchen.com because her work, your photography is amazing. Not only do you capture food, Diana, you capture people. And you just, I don't know, you just get it, there's some photographers who just, you get that moment and you see the people's smile, whatever it is. And the food always looks like, can I eat that? I'm a vegetarian. Can I eat that right now? No, Danielle, you're probably not on your list of things to eat. Now, let's talk about A Look Inside Hanatoru with Kevin Bozada. This is a fabulous winery. Tell us how this all came about.
Well, Kevin Bozada he works at Augusta National. I think he's the senior vice president of food and beverage.
Uh-huh.
And he owns half a winery, which is Hanatoru, and Octave Vineyards in Walla Walla Valley. And it's a very small batch wine. I don't want to say too much technical wine stuff because I'm not good at that.
Okay.
And they do 300 cases a year, and it's in all the really upscale high-end clubs across the, across the globe and the U.S.
I love how he said, we believe that wine should not only represent a specific place and complement a meal, but should also encourage reflection and demand attention.
Exactly. Like Kevin Bozada is, I can understand why he works at Augusta National, because when I worked with him on this story, we were working in depth, and I was just amazed at his accuracy and his mannerisms, the way he speaks, the way he is so enthusiastic about, the wine brand itself. I mean, I have never really met anyone that is that well spoken in his vocabulary. That's the best I can say it.
Yeah. And what I love about your articles is in this use, can you share the story behind the vineyard and the grapes used for Hanatoru. And, you know, then he goes on for paragraphs talking about growing up around the hospitality and wine business. In 1999, taking on a role with Oregon's largest winery, King Estate, and eventually becoming the executive vice president, and then moving out the family to Eugene in the heart of Willamette Valley. And, you know, it just constantly going from vineyard to vineyard, and in the process learning all these different things. And now his sole focus is on this one particular grape. Do you know the story behind the grape?
Yeah, they have they grow the grapes at Octave Vineyard, and every grape that is produced is identical, and they are not identical, but it's consistency.
Yeah,
and only the grapes from Octave will be found in Hanatoru.
Wow.
They work in sync. You won't find any other grape from any other vineyard in a Hanatoru wine.
Well, this photograph of these particular grapes makes me want to take a big bite. These are beautiful. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. You know, your articles bring out the person and what they've done to accomplish what they're accomplishing, and your photographs illustrate it so beautifully. There's one, it looks like been taken from an airplane flying over the orchard fields. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's Hanatoru. I think that's the winery. It might be the or Octave.
Wow, it's spectacular, the amount of area that they've planted. It's just really amazing. And then we have
That's the Octave Vineyard from the sky. I just looked it up.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have you go in depth with Vapiano Vineyards owner Justin Wiley tasting the Octave fruit in the vineyard.
Yeah, see, with Kevin's partners are his mum and dad.
Oh.
And then that gentleman, I do believe he's also a partner, and I think he's the wine master.
Oh, yeah. I can see just the way he's holding the grape in his hand before he tries it. It's beautiful. Can one buy Hanatoru, or is this something that's only for, you know, small distribution?
It is very hard to get. There are some purveyors that have it, some liquor stores, but very few.
Mm-hmm.
But in the article, it does say, I know you can contact Kevin.
Okay.
You should follow at Bozada
okay.
on Instagram
okay.
or at Bozada, I think, Bozada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get in touch with him. I mean, it's up to them. They have a very small batch. It's pretty in demand. And if you're a club and you want to have that bottle of Hanatoru, I'm pretty sure it's an aging wine as well. So you can keep it for a long time,
right.
And it might be worth a lot of money one day.
That's the beauty of some wines. And so let's say you're not into wines at all, you know, Nana, like whiskey. Well, there's the Ferguson whiskey. and there's a complete article. Where is this? It looks like it's on the coast of England or Scotland.
It's in Scotland.
Ah, yeah. That's where they make whiskey.
Yeah, I met them randomly. I don't even know how I got in touch with these people. But, you know, they ordered, you know, boxes and boxes of magazines, and we're now in the UK. And he took some to St. Andrews as well, and Loch Lomond. It's really exciting.
Oh, my goodness. And he took all your magazines to all these Loch Lomond?
Yeah, he's
wow.
taken them to all these fancy clubs.
Wow. I'm so excited for you, Diana. You've been working so hard for so many years. I looked at this one photo that you, did you take this one of all the whiskey casks This is...
No, they sent me those photos. That was actually his... I do believe his wife, Laura, took all of those photos.
That's amazing.
And we love the black and white concept.
Yes.
So I ran with that.
Yes. And then he's holding his baby. Yeah, you know, you have to really zoom in on this photo to see because the whiskey casks are so, there's so many of them, and they're stacked so high. Wow, so great. Diana DeLucia, just a really, really excellent, excellent piece of work. All of your magazines are. Are you working on another one of your golf kitchen books?
Well, I'm actually... The book that everyone's been waiting for,
yes,
has kind of morphed. It's three volumes now. So I'm finished volume two, and I'm halfway through volume three. But I can tell you now, it's going to be worth the wait.
I know it's going to be worth the wait because everything you do is worth it. You just amaze me at your excellence. And, you know, the way you just work, you're just fantastic. Diana DeLucia. You were going to say something.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Diana DeLucia is the founder and CEO, editor, writer, photographer, Golf Kitchen magazine and books. And you can find it at golfkitchen.com. I highly recommend that you get into this. And I hope, I sure hope that the folks from Hanatoro will be on the show, Kevin Bozada. I'd love to talk to him about how he does all this. This is incredible. Thank you so much for being.
He would be a great guest. I promise you that.
Okay. Thank you, Diana.
Aloha.
Aloha. Coming back, Anthony Pioppi is with us, a golf writer, historian, archaeologist. I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was 10. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Where the best start their year. The Century is back on Maui. The PGA Tour's opening drive kicks off the year at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Come watch the 2024 FedEx Cup champion Scottie Scheffler compete alongside the PGA Tour's top players like Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa. Keiki are admitted free and Hawaii residents have access to the discounted Kama'aina ticket presented by Mauna Loa. Witness the action at the Century January 2nd through 5th. Tickets available at thecentury.com.
It's Aloha Power Equipment's year-end clearance sale. From homeowner to supersized landscaper, we've got riding mowers, chainsaws, blowers, generators on sale waiting here for you. And don't forget the accessories. We make yard work easy. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done. Protect your property with the best tools around. Live on a neighbor island? No worries. We ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Tell them Danielle sent you.
Yeah, Danielle wants to go there just to see the accessories. What is it about that word? Ooh, what's the accessories? It's Aloha Power Equipment's year-end clearance sale. Hey, get on down to Aloha Power Equipment. They're right by Costco in Iwile, and they're in Waipahu on Farrington Highway. It's easiest to get to them going in the eastbound direction, but you can go, of course, if you're going west, you just make a U-E at one of the places it's legal to do so, and then you go backwards to Waipahu Depot Road. You're going eastbound now, and it's right there on the corner at Waipahu Depot Road. You see the big sign. You know, a place, you can't find a place without its sign. And so Aloha Power Equipment is, they've got the riding mowers on sale, the chainsaws on sale, the blowers on sale, generators. It's all on sale, waiting for you. Don't forget the accessories. We make yard work easy. Well, mow it, blow it, bag it. You can actually have fun. You know, put something on your in your headset. You're listening to the music or conversations that you like to listen to. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done. Protect your property. Help your neighbors protect theirs with the best tools around. And if you live on a neighbor island, you're going, gosh, you know, I'd really like to get some of that. No worries. We ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment. Tell them Danielle sent you.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Anthony Pop. He is a golf writer, historian, and archaeologist. He's the author of four books and co-author of another. He has contributed to publications like Golf Course Architecture Magazine, McKellar Magazine, Mass Golf, and the magazine of the Massachusetts Golf Association, which is Mass Golf. Fiofi is also the executive director of the Seth Rayner Society. He lives in Middletown, Connecticut, and he caddies in the warmer weather. I hear that it's kind of cold right now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Anthony.
Yeah, it's really cold. The first cold snap of the year, down in the 20s last night, 30s today, but it's in the 30s, so that means people are playing golf in Connecticut.
Really?
Not me.
Now, you know, every time I've asked you to be on the, oh, no, I can't. On the weekends, I caddy.
Right.
So when did you start caddying?
I started caddying in the mid-2000s. I'm really lucky. I'm a very good friend with the superintendent at the Fisher's Island Club, which is a Seth Rayner golf course off the coast of Connecticut, but it actually belongs to New York. And I caddied there on weekends for a few years, and then in 2011, I started caddying, and I've been doing it since then, so this is 14th straight year, at Hartford Golf Club in Hartford, Connecticut, which is a pretty well-known golf course. It hosted the 1998 USGA Mid-Am, and it hosted the, 1996 USGA Mid-Am, and the 2008 Girls Junior, which Lexi Thompson won.
Wow.
Which is the answer to the trivia question of what is Lexi Thompson's only USGA title. She never won an AM because she turned pro at 15, and she never won a U.S. Women's Open.
Wow.
She won a Girls Junior, yeah.
15, you know, boy. No wonder she wanted to retire.
Exactly.
Like, I've done this long enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's one of the things, if somebody's going to caddy, do you get paid or do you do this because you just love to do it?
Yeah, we get paid. We're actually in the club that I work. We are classified as independent contractors. So technically we have the business relationship is between the player and the club. I mean, excuse me, the player and the caddy.
And the caddy, yeah.
Some places they have caddy companies that run it. So you're an employee of the caddy company.
Ah, okay.
And that's when you can actually... So I'm an independent contractor, right? So which I do is with my freelance writing. So what I'm doing is, you know, my own taxes and that kind of stuff. And if you work for a caddy company, you actually get, you know, money taken out and the whole thing. So, yeah, I get paid. I carry two bags. I'm an A caddy, so at Hartford that means we carry two golf bags.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. You carry two golf bags?
Yeah. I carry two bags. So we figured out they weigh between about 12 and 15 pounds. So I'm carrying between 24 and 30 extra pounds.
Okay.
I did 80 rounds this year. I averaged 5 miles around, so I walked 400 miles.
Carrying 25 pounds.
Other people's golf clubs, yeah.
Yes. Do you offer advice?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things because the relationship between the player and the caddy changes. Because I'm at a club, a private club, and I caddy mostly on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, I'm caddying for the same core of, say, 60 people,
okay,
somewhere in that group.
Uh-huh.
So some people, some golfers, 100%, I'm helping them select clubs, I'm reading putts, you know, picking out targets off on shots. And other people, none of that. Other people, they're going to do everything on their own, and I'm just there maybe just to chat with them and carry their clothes.
Carry the bag.
Relationships vary.
Yes. So you make that obviously clear from the very beginning.
Yeah. Because it's a members club, it's always the same people, so they know the relationships.
Yeah.
In 2013, I caddied in Scotland at a place called Macrahanish Dunes, and that's a, you know, that's a destination and golf. So that's really, you have that discussion on the first tee. What do you want from me? You know,
yeah.
do you want me helping with club selection? Do you want me telling you what the wind's doing? You know, what, you know, do you want me reading putts? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That must be rewarding when you have to do it, you know, with them, when it becomes your advice is taken into consideration.
The best feeling for me is when you give somebody advice, they follow it, and it turns out to work wonderfully, whether it's reading a putt that goes in from 40 feet or it's a, you know, a hybrid from 210 that ends up, you know, 20 feet from the pin. If you tell them, if you give them advice, they follow it and it's right. It's really fun. It's really fun for both of us, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But, and do they know that it could maybe not work because of their own problems?
Oh, yeah. I most 99.9% of the people I caddy for understand their own limitations.
Okay.
You know, so I can, you know, there's a great story. I was caddying with a guy one time. We really had something dialed in. We figured the wind, we figured the elevation, we figured where we wanted the ball to stop, and he chunked the 7-iron.
Oh.
And he looked at me and he just goes, well, but at least we had a hell of a plan.
Yeah. That's
so, yeah,
a guy.
I mean, the 12 handicap, he's going to chunk iron shots. You know what I mean? Those things happen.
Yes. But that was so cool of him to be so like, you know, yeah, we had a great plan.
Yeah, yeah,
we
can't blame that one on me, you know?
Oh, that's magnificent. Are you right? Well, wait a minute. Hold it. Hold the phone.
Yep.
The Finest Nines. Remember,
yep.
I have to bring this up again. You featured Kahuku Golf Course.
Yes, I did.
That Machinella loves that course.
Yep.
Zach Blair played it all the time when he went to BYU. How did you find out about the Finest Nines? I forget.
Well, Zach Blair told me that. That's how I was writing the book. I was doing some research. So the book came out in 2018. So I was writing it in 2017. And he and I got hooked up along the line somewhere. I'm not sure if it was on social media or whatever. And he raved to me about that golf course and told me that when he was at BYU and BYU would play a tournament every year, he would make sure that he got to that golf course.
Yeah.
And so then I did some digging on it and found out some stuff and talked to a bunch of other people about it. And that's how the whole thing started. And then if I remember, I talked to you and you gave me some information on it too and arranged for me to talk to some people and maybe that's where the photos came from. But yeah, it was right from Zach Blair. He couldn't stop raving about it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because it is, you know, it's a little gem out there.
Right.
And the fact that Matt Janella, you know, he's, you know, no slouch.
Right. Correct. 100%. He loves it. He absolutely loves it.
Absolutely. Yes. So it's if you're out on the North Shore, you know, go check out Kahuku Golf Course. It's right next to that gigantic hotel that's out there as well. Now, you are also, I mean, there's so many. You were senior writer superintendent. Are you still writing for Superintendent Magazine?
No, they went out of business.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
This whole thing with the internet and print and all of that stuff, there's been this contraction as a, you know, a result of the internet. So they went out of business a few years ago. Unfortunately, it was a solid magazine. I enjoyed writing for them.
Yeah. Maybe I'm old, but I like holding a magazine in my hands. You know, I like 100%. Turning the pages. 100%. I like the smell, you know, of a new magazine. All of that stuff. It's, you know, the senses getting involved. It's really cool. Okay.
Well, you know, you're talking to an old newspaper writer. I used to go down and stand when we get done at night or in the morning, depending on which paper it was. I would stand at the press and get one of the papers that came right off of the press.
Ooh.
It's still cool. They cool the papers to get the ink sticks and all that.
Yeah.
And I just loved holding a newspaper, you know, and feeling that. And I'm same thing with magazines. I don't like reading online.
Yeah, you know, kids just don't understand.
I feel bad for them.
I do, too. All right. But are you writing a new book?
So I'm still working on, and I have been probably since the last time we talked, I'm still working on the biography of Seth Rayner. Dealing with that, trying to get a publisher. We're at that stage right now where I'm in talks with a publisher about printing it. I have no idea when it would come out. I mean, best case scenario would probably be early 2026. But, you know, it's going to be an in-depth deep dive on Rayner and his life and, you know, his design styles. And you have two Rayners out there. You have Wailea and Mid-Pacific were originally Seth Rainer golf courses.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are like high-end country clubs where people love their golf course.
And and from my research, it's very possible that Mid-Pacific is, or Mid-Pac is, the last course he ever designed. Rainer was out there to work for the people that the original founders of, or the founders of Wailea, and while he was there, the people that founded Mid-Pac realized he was on the island and hired him. And then that was December of 1925. Rainer came back home for Christmas on Long Island, went to Florida, and died in January of 26.
Wow.
So that's very likely his last design.
Wow. How did you get attached? I mean, you are the president of this, or rather, excuse me, the executive director of the Seth Rainer Society. How did you get connected, you know, emotionally, mentally with Seth Rainer?
Yeah, so I grew up in Massachusetts, and there's one Seth Rainer way. It's called Dedham Country and Polo Club. It's out by Boston. And I didn't really know Seth Rainer, and I came to Connecticut. And through a lucky break, I ended up playing Fisher's Island a couple times. And then the Nike Tour used to come and play at Yale. And Yale's Seth Rainer, and I got to play Yale and fell in love and realized I was playing these two golf courses that just blew me away. At that point, I was a newspaper sports writer. I was getting into golf course architecture. A couple of years later, I ended up getting hired by a publication that's also gone out of business called Golf Week Superintendent News, and traveled more and saw more Seth Rainer, and ended up meeting the guys from Chattanooga, the two guys that had founded the Seth Rainer Society. One has since passed away. One kind of got away from it. We went quiet for a while, and then in 2013 or 14, I revived the organization, and we have meetings every year. We have two two-day events, which is either at Seth Rainer or Charles Banks golf courses. Charles Banks was Rainer's protege, and then we do a one-day.
Wow.
So it's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a Wailea member, John Monahan, who was the green chairman, I believe, at Wailea, is one of our members, so he's made the trips all the way out east from Hawaii to come to our event.
That is fantastic. And do you have a website?
You know, everybody's SethRainerSociety.us.
There you go, SethRainerSociety.us.
Yep.
And you're a member of St. Andrew's Golf Club in Scotland?
Yeah, I'm an overseas member. That's kind of the Artisans Club, where the RNA was the English.
Yes.
And all of that. Well, we were founded as, you know, kind of the carpenters and the joiners and that kind of stuff. And our clubhouse is right next to the 18th green, so whenever you see shots of people hanging over the railing, watching the final putt or whatever, that's all my fellow
members.
St. Andrew's Golf Club members.
Yes. Well, gosh, you've got the insight on so many things. This is wonderful.
Yeah, lucky. I'm lucky.
Okay, now tell me, you know, I mentioned, you may have heard, I wanted to be an archaeologist, you know,
yeah.
And my family said, you're going to be as poor as a church mouse, so forget that, okay? I still, you know, if I'd known the path to archaeology, I probably would have gone down it anyway.
Right.
So, archaeologist, how are you an archaeologist?
So one of the things it's I like to do, and there's a handful of us that do this, is I like finding old golf courses that no longer exist.
Oh.
Like getting maps and aerials and going out into the woods or going out into state parks or even finding parts of golf courses that no longer exist on existing golf courses. So there's an 18-hole golf course in my town that we found every single tee and green site. There's a famous Seth Rainer golf course that used to be next to Newport Country Club in Rhode Island. We found a remnants of that golf course, that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. Really like it.
I bet. Do you go?
And what's happened is it's gotten, you're able to do it more now in the modern age because there's so many historic aerials that have been digitized. There's actually a website called historicaerials.com, and there's a bunch of free sites that states have. So you're able to go online, find these aerials from sometimes as far back as the mid-1920s.
Wow.
And then, you know, put them in relationship to what you see now and go find a golf course.
I want to go online. I mean,
it's fun. No, if you like it, you'll go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Like if you go to historicaerials.com and you look up this a golf course that used to be in Hawaii,
right,
you find it, and then you go there and find remnants of it, that's going to start you on a whole...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All-nighter.
You don't really need.
It's going to be an all-nighter, you know,
uh-huh.
And then maybe longer. So you've written The Finest Nines.
Yeah.
And you've written Haunted Golf.
Yeah, we did that with a friend of mine a bunch of years ago. It's golf stories that revolve around golf courses. I mean, ghost stories that revolve around golf courses.
Ooh,
a lot of fun.
Yes, I bet that. Haunted Golf.
Yeah.
And the history of, now you got to help me here, the history
of Minnetonka Golf.
Go ahead, you first.
Yeah, it's the history of Minnetonka Golf Club. It's an unbelievably good golf course in Minneapolis that because it's at the borders, it can't expand off its property line. It will never have the status that it once had.
Oh.
But it's hosted a USAM, a US Open, a Walker Cup, a Curtis Cup, a US Women's Am, US Men's Senior Am. Bobby Jones won there. Chick Evans won there. It was quite the golf course. So it was really a lot of fun to research. And they're one of the few. They were founded in 1899, but they're one of the rare clubs that's never had a clubhouse fire. So they have all their archives going back to they have every single Board of Governors minutes going back to 1899.
Fascinating. And then you've got Shore Acres, the first 100 years?
Yeah, Shore Acres is north of Chicago. That's a Seth Rayner golf course. That's how I got involved with them. And that's just one of those very exclusive, very quiet clubs. They don't draw attention to themselves. They don't host state events, anything like that. They just play golf and there's a little bit of tennis. But it was the, you know, one of the upper crust clubs of Chicago, which was, you know, the hub of golf west of the Mississippi. First 18-hole golf course in the United States was Chicago Golf Club. And so there's a long history of golf out in that area. So that was a lot of fun to do that book.
Wow. You're a lot of fun to talk to. And thank you. I'm talking with Anthony Pioppi, and he's a golf writer, historian, archaeologist, author of 4 books. He's co-authored of another one. I'm just thrilled to be back in touch with you since you're not caddying again. I might, you know, knock on your door again.
You can. Yeah, I'm good from now until April. So if you need me on a Saturday, we're good until about the middle of April.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha. We're going to come back. John Peter Hagen, author, Play Away, Please, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
You've heard of Stretch Lab. We talk about Stretch Lab on the show. We've been talking about how stretching, you know, talk about going to play golf, stretching, fundamental to prepare or recover from golf. You want to have your muscles all ready to work. Introducing Stretch Lab Hawaii with studios now at Kahala Mall, Kailua by Foodland. The new studio, it's in the Kolua building, 1000 Awahi Street, a big, beautiful white building at Ward Center, and also coming soon to Kapolei. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions. It helps improve your swing and your flexibility, so important for afterwards, so your body didn't suffer. You'll move better, you'll feel better, and you'll play better. Tell them the golf club sent you. Stretch and mobility are yours at Stretch Lab Hawaii.
Get Sony Open tickets now to support Island Keiki, Kupuna, and families. Link arms with Friends of Hawaii Charities and Hawaii Community Foundation to give Hawaii's ohana a big lift. Your Sony Open in Hawaii ticket purchase creates a wave of aloha throughout the islands. Tickets available at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. That's SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Join all the fun while creating the Sony Open wave of aloha now.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
John Peter Hagen, he's author, Play Away Please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box. He's a real estate developer and architect, a member of Hazeltine. He's got an apartment in Paris. I just can't stand this. He's got an apartment in Paris, a few rounds under his belt on the Albatross at Le Golf National. Projects around the world. His personal mission became securing that St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box for a development in California. That was through an auction on September 10 in 2001. Welcome into the clubhouse, John.
What an introduction. Good morning. The funny thing I have to add to you introducing me last time, I used to, when I lived in Minnesota and was going to school there, Minnetonka was the golf course we go sneak on and play late afternoon.
That is so cool. Should I put that in my, next time you're on, I'm going to put that in. He used to sneak on Minnetonka.
Minnetonka.
Did you guys play golf?
Probably the first real golf course I was ever on, probably.
Yeah. Did you guys play a little bit or golf? Or
Really? They would shoo us off sometimes. But as your interviewer said, it's a very restricted golf course because it's in the center of town and it's houses all around. It cannot be expanded at all. But in those days, and I'm talking the 1960s now and 70s, the fences that surrounded the golf course all had ladders going up and down them from the course outside. So you could climb the ladder and go find your golf ball in somebody's yard and go back over the fence again and keep playing.
Oh, that is
amazing. That's how we would get on. We'd just use those ladders.
I had no idea there was a fence around the place. If you said so, that's a great story. The starters box. What got you so focused on that?
Well, golf has always, I've been always had a heart for golf.
Yeah.
Play awful lot. Journeyman player, certainly, but when I heard that they were going to destroy the Old Course Starters Box, I started thinking and saying, you can't do that. You know, golf, when you think about it, is one of the very few icons in the world of golf, in the world of sports, that has a specific area that's its home. Boston Celtics play in the stadium, but other people play there, and golf is singular with that starters box where everybody from you and I to Nicklaus and Tiger Woods has checked in and played their rounds. So I thought it ought to be preserved, and I led a crusade to have it happen that went to auction, and I was a high bidder.
What did you do with it after you bid high for it?
Had to be taken down by the auction, as you mentioned, was on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be taken down and taken off property by November 3rd because at that time the R&A clubhouse behind it was undergoing extensive repairs, and they thought that the plumbing lines from the R&A went into the beach famous for Chariots of Fire on lines that ran underneath the first tee and underneath the starters box. So in the midst of snowstorms, hailstorms, sleet storms, all the bad stuff that St. Andrews gets before the rest of the world, we took it down, had it put on in containers and shipped to California.
And where is it?
Well, the pieces of it, it's never been put together. Pieces of it were stolen. Because the developer of the golf club called the Hideaway that was going to install it there was in federal prison for extortion by the time we got it back. With unpaid debts and things, plumbers and carpenters and the construction trades broke into the containers, which were in bond, and took back what they could that they hadn't been paid for.
Oh, my.
But first tee of Hideaway does have sod from the first tee of the old course. Not many people know that. But as a joke, my crew in St. Andrews stripped some of the first tee sod in rolls and put them in the containers. We didn't find that out till the customs people in Los Angeles got particularly interested in what is sod doing in the container.
What a story. I mean, no wonder you wrote a book.
Yeah, it was, and it still, you know, it still has its life. It's been, 23 years now, and I'm still doing book tours and signings, and there's a passion there for it. That little old homely box that stood there was, you know, I was there. So it's still showing up on whiskey ads and other kinds of publicity that St. Andrews attracts. And I've got another one coming out, I hope, in the spring that supersedes it. So there you have it.
There you have it. So you were also, the last time we talked, working on the trilogy Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, the novel?
That's exactly right, and that's the one that is hopefully being released by Random House in spring.
In the spring, that's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's right.
All right, so you're going to have to come back.
That's right. Of course.
I love the ladder story. I mean, the fact that they put ladders so that people could go retrieve their balls after hitting it off the course into somebody's yard. They could go down, get their ball, go back, and continue playing. Now, that's a neighborhood.
That's a real neighborhood. And Minnetonka Club then was along with Interlochen, which is another preeminent club, and Hazeltine, of course, which was not even a dream then. They were Minnetonka was the preeminent course in the community and was very segregated in terms of the kinds of play that was allowed or not allowed.
Yes.
And as your guest said, it still had a history with having an open, and all the big boys played there. And in tennis, they had a huge tennis facility. And they would get the Jack Kramers and Lou Holtz, and when they would come through town with their tennis circus. So it was an interesting place.
John Peter Hagan, author, Play Away Please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon, the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box. Now, I'm going to have to find out where we can get the book.
You can get the book by going on playawayplease.com, or you can call me, 310-717-1304.
All right.
I will sign and annotate and send a bill and mail you a book promptly.
John Peter Hagan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. I'm going to thank the people who make this show possible now. Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club is brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii, one-on-one assisted stretching sessions, just like the pros get, just like you see in the movies, to improve your flexibility and your swing. They're at Kahala in the Mall, Kailua, Ward Village, and Waikele. It's Aloha Power Equipment's year-end clearance sale. All equipment is on sale. You mow it, you bow it, you bag it. You need anything to mow, blow, and bag? Well, you can get it right now, and it's going to be on sale. Let your equipment do the work. Faster, smarter, and you can get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, Ivile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu, the Century. Kicking off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua's Plantation Course on Maui, January 2nd through the 5th. I'll be there. I can't wait. See ya there. And the Aloha section, PGA, teach your children to play golf. It is the gift that lasts forever for self, for health, for friendship. Go golf! And the Sony Open in Hawaii 2025 at Waialae, January 8th through the 12th. Tickets available at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.